Have you ever dragged yourself to work wondering if what you do actually matters? You're not alone. In a world where 70% of workers feel disconnected from their jobs, we're facing a crisis of meaning that extends far beyond paychecks and promotions. Timothy Keller's Every Good Endeavor offers a revolutionary perspective. Work isn't just something we do to survive, it's woven into the very fabric of our humanity. This isn't about finding the perfect career or climbing the corporate ladder. It's about discovering that the spreadsheet you're formatting, the floor you're mopping, or the code you're writing carries profound significance when viewed through the right lens. What if your daily work, yes, even that mundane task you're avoiding, is actually part of something much larger than yourself? What if the ancient wisdom of faith traditions could transform not just Sunday mornings, but Monday through Friday as well? Work existed before human failure entered the world. It was present even in paradise. Unlike other ancient creation narratives portraying Eden as work-free, Genesis shows God Himself as the first worker. Work isn't punishment, but purpose. God works by creating, sustaining, and commissioning humans to continue His creative activity. When placed in Eden to work it and keep it, we discover that productivity meets a fundamental human need. Without meaningful contribution, we experience emptiness that leisure alone can't fill. A Philadelphia company employing adults with developmental disabilities confirms this. Work fulfills something deep in the human spirit, giving us purpose and helping us discover our distinct abilities. We've created hierarchies, dividing occupations into prestigious knowledge work and lower status service jobs. The biblical narrative shatters this hierarchy. God entering history as a carpenter reveals the dignity of all work. Consider Mike, a New York doorman who transforms his building into a home by knowing residents' needs. All good work, whether preaching sermons or paving roads, participates in cultivating a world that reflects its creator's intentions. The biblical mandate to fill the earth and subdue it calls us to stewardship as God's representatives, not exploitation. Like God bringing order from chaos, we continue this work by drawing out creation's potential. This pattern applies to all meaningful work. Whether farming, teaching, coding, or cleaning, we bring order from chaos and elaborate creation, functioning as gardeners who make creation fruitful and beautiful. James Tufekian exemplifies this by transforming seasonal waste into award-winning Armenian preserves. Catherine, a physics professor, shapes her lab with classical music and family integration, blending research with family life. Religious leaders often mistakenly separate business from culture making. Yet Richard Mao compared God to an investment banker creating new life, suggesting entrepreneurs who meet human needs perform godlike work. This perspective dignifies both ambitious and everyday work. Programmers, janitors, and chefs all participate in cultivation, patterned after God's creative activity, transforming chaos into order and potential into reality. What if we approached careers with, how can I best serve others with my abilities, rather than what will make me the most money and status? This service-oriented mindset provides more sustainable motivation than self-advancement. Consider Jill Lamar, who left banking for publishing to better use her gifts in discovering writers and bringing good stories to readers. Her shift aligned talents with genuine human needs. Martin Luther revolutionized our understanding of vocation by challenging the medieval view that only religious work qualified as God's calling. He described ordinary occupations as masks of God, through which God cares for humanity, providing protection through lawmakers, bread through bakers, and essentials through various vocations. This perspective transforms routine tasks. One primary way to love others through work is what Keller calls the ministry of competence. As Dorothy Sayers noted, faith demands carpenters make good tables. Captain David Cronin demonstrated this when his professional competence saved lives after his United flight suffered catastrophic damage. When we view work as service rather than self-advancement, we find meaning even in difficult circumstances. We've all experienced those moments: collapse projects, toxic office politics, exhaustion from fruitless work. These reflect a fundamental brokenness in our relationship with work. Work itself isn't a curse, but exists under the curse of human rebellion against our created purpose. The thorns and thistles represent how labor is marked by frustration and unfulfillment. Work becomes fruitless when vision exceeds capabilities and constraints. Previous generations were often grateful for survival-sustaining work. Today's professionals expect work perfectly aligned with talents that does something amazing, perhaps unrealistically. Yet falling short of our highest aspirations doesn't mean we've chosen wrongly. Like Salieri, we can aspire to greatness while still making valuable contributions. Have you accomplished something significant only to feel empty? Koheleth, the teacher, in Ecclesiastes, sought fulfillment through learning, pleasure, and achievement, only to conclude that work alone cannot deliver meaning. "So I hated life," he writes, "because the work done under the sun was grievous to me." Even lasting achievements eventually fade. History erases all accomplishments. Even civilizations turn to dust. Ironically, greater career freedom often breeds more dissatisfaction. Many students limit themselves to options that enhance their self-image: high-paying jobs, direct social impact work, or trendy startups, overlooking countless meaningful vocations by failing to recognize that all work has dignity and serves humanity. Koheleth offers hope. There is nothing better for a person than to enjoy their work, because that is their lot. Finding satisfaction in our labor is the gift of God. We need one handful of quietness, a middle path between idle emptiness and excessive toil. Meaning comes not from the work itself, but from the larger story in which we place it. When work becomes an offering rather than an achievement, we can care deeply while holding results lightly. Understanding our work within a redemptive narrative helps us accept inevitable disappointments. The Christmas carol proclaiming Christ comes to make his blessings flow far as the curse is found suggests our work's brokenness will eventually be reversed, allowing wholehearted effort while participating in something transcendent. What if your work, whether leading a corporation, teaching children, coding software, or cleaning floors, became not just a job, but a calling? What if faith could transform not just what you do, but how and why you do it? The Gospel offers four resources for more satisfying work: an alternative life story, a vision of work as partnering with God, ethical guidelines for decisions, and transformed motives that sustain us through difficulties. Christianity frames our nature as fundamentally relational, made for connection with God and others, lost through self-centeredness, and restored through grace. This transforms work, as shown by Bill Kurtz, who revolutionized inner-city education through accountability, community, and hope. When Jesus called fishermen, he gave them identity beyond their profession. His passion for you generates passion for your work. His sacrifice frees you from seeking self-worth through status. Gospel rest liberates us from earning our value through work, creating a reservoir that continually rejuvenates us as we approach Monday with purpose, seeing our workplace as an arena where we participate in making the world better.